Seat. Well, it's great to be here. I know I was here last week, but we had Steve Berg preach last week, and I know many of you were here and heard him give us a challenge about praying for our leaders and our politicians and praying for our country. And he works with Christian Embassy with Power to Change and interacts with politicians all the time. And it's a real privilege to pray for people and to pray for our leaders. And I mentioned that having just come back a couple days before last Sunday from Zimbabwe, where there's a country that has collapsed and a political system that's broken, I was just, you're just thankful for so many things that we take for granted here in this wonderful country that we have. And so it was fun to pray for our politicians. It was good to pray for our politicians and for our leaders and for our country at our CORE night on Wednesday. We had a great time together at CORE. Once a month, we have a Wednesday where we come together, we pray, we share stories, we get challenged. It's a little more intimate, a little more personal, and a little more interactive, and an opportunity to stay connected to what God's doing in us and through our church. And CORE was great again on Wednesday, and I'm so thankful. Well, like I said, there's so many things. You come back from being away, and I'm thankful for my wife, for my family, for my church, thankful for a lot of things. It might sound interesting, but one of the things I'm thankful for, as I look at this morning and my title for this morning about drawing lines, I'm thankful for lines on the road, that we have lines on the road. I find myself driving down the road and going, I'm thankful that there's a line, and that generally people who drive in this country stay on one side of the line or the other. And one of the challenges of driving in a place like Zimbabwe where the whole system economy has collapsed is that there's potholes all over the road. So you're always zigzagging to try and avoid these potholes, especially in the urban centers. And it makes for some challenging moments when you're not sure, like the lane, and you know, you're in a busy city of over a million people and there's traffic and everybody's dodging potholes and dodging each other. And it makes for some pretty scary moments on the road, I must say. I was just thankful that God protected us. But one of the things I found interesting was because nobody's fixing the roads, there actually are volunteers. Literally, I saw kids as young as junior high, maybe in elementary school, setting up like cardboard little pieces with, you know, broken English on it saying, broken road fixing, money needed. And on a cardboard, and they just set it up on the road in the middle of a busy street. And then you see these kids like grabbing bricks and stones and just trying to attempt to fill the potholes in. And the missionary I was with, he says, you know what, my wife and I have made a pact. Just because somebody's doing something about the roads, we're going to stop every time we see one of these little cardboard signs and somebody putting stuff in the potholes and give them a dollar. And so we did. But I just thought, you know, too bad they can't paint lines too. But that would take some more extra resources. Well, this morning I want to talk about drawing lines, painting lines in our life, and looking at some of the behaviors, some of the things that can, if we go outside of that line, can land us up in a ditch. It can really hurt us. And the passage that we're looking at as we're going through the book of Ephesians right now on No Limits is Ephesians chapter 5. And I thought it was interesting because we do have a traffic sign up there that says no limits. And we've talked about, and this morning I want to talk about God's unlimited love, God's unlimited life, his light, his wisdom to give us. There are no limits to what God gives us. And we're going to celebrate that in communion at the end. There are limits that God has given us because he cares for us. He wants to direct and protect our lives. And so he says, don't go outside of these limits. There are some areas that are off limits. And that's what this passage is about. In the midst of a book that we've celebrated, he talks about this incredible love, this incredible grace. And we get to this passage in chapter 5, and it says, there are some things that will ruin your life. And it says it that blatantly in Ephesians 5, verse 18. It says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. And I'm really thankful for the practical guidelines there are in the Bible that just says, you know what, if you cross that line, and you know, and whatever that line is, and I want to talk about that this morning, figuring out how do we draw lines in our lives so our great regrets can be avoided. That might be financially, morally, relationally. We need to draw lines in our lives. And he gives us some overall guidelines as to how to do that. And thankfully, this whole passage starts off with, live in love. He says, here's the line. Love is the line. If you go outside of the line of love, there's potentially a ditch. There's some things that can hurt you, that can ruin you. And so it says here in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, it says, and you can follow in your Bible or up on the screen, it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. So it's like he's talking to his kids and he's saying, I love you. I just want to coach you. Talking about coaching. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. We're going to celebrate his sacrifice of love for us this morning. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, those are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. So here we have Paul in a very loving way saying, there's some lines here I want you to draw. There's a purpose for it. I want you to live in a place of safety and freedom. And I want you to know that when it comes to the kind of love that I've given you, it's unlimited. And I want you to walk in that. I want you to run in that. I want you, using the analogy of driving, I want you to drive full on in that love. He says there's some areas, though, that violate love. And sometimes it comes as pseudo-love, or even culturally we're told that this is love. But he says there is sexual immorality, impurity, and greed. And he says, don't go there. That's outside of the lines. He says, why? Because they violate love. You know, we have a definition, a blueprint of love. It's life of Christ. It's given again in 1 Corinthians 13, and it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is other-centered. And the way that God gave us this wonderful gift of sexuality, as it addresses that area here in this, it says, I want you to enjoy that. I want you to enjoy that in a trusting, loving, lifelong, committed marriage relationship between a man and a wife. And he says, I want you to enjoy that and enjoy that. No limits. It's wonderful. But he's saying, if you take that gift and you go outside of the lines, and really, the lines are drawn. In marriage, it's a loving, trusting relationship. Outside of that, it's something that takes. It's something that kind of defrauds another person. It's something that can hurt relationships. And I don't think we have to look that far or even know in our own personal lives or stories or those around us that we go, that can hurt relationships so badly when trust is violated. When we go places that, and Paul's saying, I want you to enjoy this gift of sex. And so I want you to know that it's within marriage relationship. So stay far away from it. Stay away from the line. It's interesting that he puts greediness in here too. That one verse says, don't you know that sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you? He says, don't go there. And you might think, greed, how does that relate with that, with sexuality? Well, you know, in many ways, they're different expressions of the same basic weakness of our fallen nature. It's an uncontrolled appetite. It's going after something that doesn't belong to us. It's taking. It's moving outside of that line of, I want to give. I want to be generous. And he's saying, I don't want you to go that way. He says, you know what? There's going to be a lot of people and culture is going to tell you it's no big deal. And he says, don't fool yourself. It is. It violates love. And there's some pain there. There's an accident waiting to happen if you go down that road. And he says, so draw the line way far away from it. He says, don't even go down that route of obscene stories, jokes. He says, stay away from that. He says, live in the zone of love. And you know, one of the ways that we get there, it says in the middle of this passage, it says thankfulness. To say, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for the place you've put me in life. When it comes to financial greediness, to say, God, you know, rather than focusing on what I don't want and or what I don't have and trying to get that, I'm going to focus on what I have and say, God, thank you for that. If we live in a zone of thankfulness, we go, God, thank you. You may have me in a place of singleness right now, or you've got me in this marriage relationship. I'm going to be thankful for that. I'm going to live in that. And as we do that, thankfulness and love just go together. And he says, I want you to have no limits in this area. I want you to go down that way. He says, I want to help you avoid some of the pain. A place like Zimbabwe, it's not surprising that it has one of the greatest accident rates in the world. While I was there just in 2 weeks, I came upon an accident where a motorcycle was wiped out. I saw another one where a car, the whole front of it was taken out. And I saw another one where a semi had missed the curve and it just like completely toppled. Those are painful situations. And Paul's saying this in a kind way. He's saying, I want to help you avoid the situations where there might be unwanted pregnancy, where there's sexually transmitted disease, or an affair that leads to the fear of discovery, internet addiction. He says, I don't want to see you go there. I want you to live free. I want you to live with no limits. So he says, draw a line. And we know the line when we go, you know what? I'm crossing over from love to something else, to something that takes. He says, live in that place. So draw that line. Then he goes on and he says, I want you to draw a line between light and darkness. And even as we talk about some of this stuff, we go, yeah, that's a dark kind of world that you can go down. And he recognizes that. So he talks about darkness. He says, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. He says, here, draw a line here. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. He says, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Again and again throughout the Bible, it refers to Jesus coming as the light of the world. You know what's really great is that when you feel like something, like you were sort of in the dark about something, maybe you lacked information or you didn't know, and then all of a sudden there's this light of, oh, I get it. You know, sometimes I get that as I'm working on my computer, my kids coming along and tell me, you know, okay, this is how you do it. Oh, okay, that's great. And Paul says, you know what, in the same way Christ has come, he's given you light. And in fact, he says, as a Christ follower, you have that light living inside of you. And there can be something intimidating about light, because it will shine on everything. He's saying the brightness of Christ's light, it'll shine on everything. And it may show some dark kind of corners and some things that, you know, I'd rather not have kind of illuminated. But you know, the great thing about the good news of what Jesus did on the cross, and that's why we have communion, is that whatever dark places of our lives that need his light to shine on, he forgives us. If we just kind of come clean and we say, hey, it's there. God, can you forgive me? And it says his light just illuminates all that, and it takes rid of, and it actually pushes out the darkness. That's the power of the light of God. And Paul so much wanted these people, as he does for us as Christ followers, to experience living completely in the light, where there's nothing to hide. It's just open. You know, where you or I go to an airport, and we go through the place where they check you out. What's that called? Security, there we go. You know, it's great. If you have nothing to hide, you know you're going to put your luggage through the scanning machine, or you're going to walk through that little tunnel. And, you know, it's just like, yeah, I got nothing to hide. We're glad that they're trying to expose the light on anybody who might, like, try and blow up your plane or anything. In the same way, walking through life was just like, you know what, God, I'm under your x-ray scan, and you can just check it all out. And sometimes it's going to expose something. It's going to be painful, but I'm so glad I can talk about that with you, and it's taken care of. I don't have to live in the dark. That's the no limits kind of life that God says. If you live in love and you live in light, you've got that kind of life to live. And it's a wonderful thing. Darkness is a dangerous thing. Now, I know sometimes we can like having kind of a room with some candles and that sort of thing, but frankly, after being in Zimbabwe for a couple of weeks, I'm tired of candles, because the power goes out there regularly, all the time, because there's just not enough infrastructure and finance to keep the lights on. You'll just be eating supper, and all of a sudden, the lights will just shut off. And so, now I think more than half the times, at least in the part of the city that I was living in, the lights would just shut off. And so you go and you light a candle, And then, the person we were staying with, he'd put on his little headlight lamp and he'd walk out to his garage and he'd start up the generator. Everybody has a generator to back that up because, you don't want to just stumble around in the dark all night. And you know what this is saying is God's come to give us light, and his light is always there for us. He never shuts it off. He never turns us off in the dark. And he's there to turn on the light, to guide, to direct, and protect us. Just as we have lines on the road, he's there to protect us. And there's safety in light. We had a very interesting adventure while I was there. The big rule for pretty much everybody, not obviously there's lots of people who don't follow it, but you don't drive after dark in that country. Because there are so many potholes on the road, because so many vehicles break down and are just there, because there's no street lights to shine on anything, and because a lot of people drive without headlights. You're literally driving down the road and go, oh, that was a car. It didn't have any lights on. Or you think it's a motorbike coming, but it's just one headlight, and it's on the wrong side. Combine that with they drive on the other side of the road, too, and it can be quite a bewildering thing at night. We had a situation where we went out to the tribal areas, and we went to a hospital that has, it's actually in the same area. I had a chance to go see the place of my birth. I was born out there in the, I was born in the city, but my first few years were in this tribal area. It was way out in the boonie. There aren't even paved roads to this area. And we had quite an opportunity to meet with some of the doctors and nurses at the Mission Hospital there. It was one of the bright lights, actually, in that country, health-wise, because they've been able to keep it functioning because it's funded from outside. And while we were there, we saw one doctor unloading a couple of big, huge containers that they were able to get in, big shipping containers from Samaritan's Purse. And some of you us know of that through Operation Christmas Child. They send over all this medical equipment. And so many of the people in that whole region, and actually they come from all over the country, to this remote hospital. They actually say there's no bridge across during the rainy season when we were there. You have to go way around on this gravel, dirt roads. And they say, we just don't build a bridge because we'd be overwhelmed if it was easier to get to. But as it was, it's just lineups of people just waiting for medical attention there. And the doctors and nurses are patiently working through it. But we visited with them. The missionary he was in a bit of a hurry. He says, we got to leave at a certain time because we want to get back to the capital city 3 hours away before nightfall because we don't want to drive at night. But the Toyota van that we were in turned out it had some engine problems. And we could hear that it just wasn't somehow getting gas and it would just shut down. It was just strange, and then we'd have to wait a while. We weren't sure whether it was related to the heating or what it was. And then we'd turn it on, we'd drive a few more kilometers, and we hobbled along all the way through all these back dirt roads and then finally got to the pavement. And then we knew that there was this town of Mount Darwin. Not a very significant town, but there was an outside chance we'd find some garage open, if there was even a garage, like a mechanic. We got to the edge of town and asked, any place where we've got problems with this van, where do we get it fixed? And they said, well, there's a guy named Friday, who, it's always nice to have a man named Friday, hey? Living in town here, and he can fix anything. And so through various people, they directed us to this place. So we got to this place where, it wasn't the most welcoming sight driving up there. It was about 10 different cars all in bits and parts all over the front yard of this house, and about half a dozen, 10 or so, 20-something-year-old guys sitting around listening to music. I don't know, if you watch, a rap video, that would work in that kind of environment. Like, we're driving up and going, are we going to get mugged here, or what's going to happen? And we ended up going, is there a guy named Friday here? And the guys go in the point, and they say, it's that guy. And he's got a shaved head and scars going on different directions on his head. And so we asked, would you mind taking a look at our van? They jumped right into it. We had the Karanda Mission Hospital name on the side of our van. This guy just jumped into it with a van and just started testing it and figures out that there's a fuel sensor that actually isn't necessary. So they literally just take it out. We had the piece there, and it's like, you don't need this part, bypassed it. And got us back in the road within a half hour. We went to pay Friday for what he had done. And he said, no, you don't owe me anything. He said, a few years back, I was in a bad accident. That's what happened here. And he said, and your hospital fixed me up. It's just really a neat kind of moment. We gave him some money anyhow. But we managed to get back on the road. And then we were like, okay, now it was nightfall already. and we had to drive 2 hours through the dark. It was harrowing. You have cars just careening towards you, you know, like I said, no lights. It started raining. It's pitch black, and I found my neck getting, you know, I was like a navigator. The missionary was driving, and I'm sitting there going like this, and I go, okay, I got to relax, okay. But, you know, we take for granted light, and I think sometimes even as Christ followers, we can take for granted the light that God has for us. You know, some without his kind of light and his lines in our lives, we can be stumbling around and bumping into things and hurting ourselves, and his guidelines are not to intimidate or to kind of take away our fun, but are actually there so that we can live life freely, so that we can live it in love. And his light shines into our lives, and he says, this is going to hurt you. This is painful. This hurts relationships. This hurts the people made in my image. This hurts my heart. And this is a way in which you can live freely and in love. And so we have the Bible as a light to show us, to show us where to go, and to expose any secrets that there might be in our lives so that we can get it out in the open and go, okay, God, it's done. It's dealt with you. I can move on freely. That's the beauty and the wonder of light. Draw the line at light and say, you know what? Am I going into something that's dark here, something that I wouldn't be proud of, that I don't want to go down? Okay, God, thanks. You can help me to walk in wisdom, to walk in light. And that's the next thing he points us to, is draw the line at wisdom. He says there is a way of living wise. He says, be careful how you live. He writes in the next verse here, verse 15, he says, don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wraps up this passage by saying, live in thanks, live in joy, live in a place of celebration. That's the point of it. He starts off with love, and he ends up with a point of celebration, saying, you can live in this zone, this no-limit zone, when you, in your own life, say, here's the line. I'm not going over that. I'm going to live in this place of love and light and wisdom. See, it takes wisdom. You know, we can learn a lot through life, through consequences. That's a painful teacher, because we bump up against things, we're in the dark, we hurt ourselves, or we just refuse to listen to the light, and we hurt ourselves. Or we can learn through a teacher called wisdom. He says, I'd rather you learn through wisdom. There's a whole lot of things that you can avoid by doing that. He says, I want you to, and it literally it says, walk carefully. Be careful then how you live. In other terms, literally, look out then carefully where you walk, where you step. Now, some of you, like us, have dogs that you let out in your backyard. We have a dog. And, you know, sometimes in winter you aren't out there all the time doing the scoop thing. So when you tell people, you know, you can go in the backyard, but just watch where you step. That's a little bit about what this passage is talking about. It's saying there's some messes that you can avoid if you're careful. Don't live carelessly. Keep your eyes wide open, not as unwise, but wise. And he says, make the most of every opportunity. Literally, it's like redeem the time. Realize that there's a certain amount of time that we're given in life. Use it to the maximum in love and in light. And the older you get, sometimes the more you go, you know what, there are some paths that I would not want to go down again. That was time misspent. Those really weren't redeeming the time. He says, because we all know that there are evil days. He says there's dangerous times. There's unexpected curves. Recognize that and just be on the alert. Be on the alert for that. He goes on and gives an example. He says, you know, if you drink too much, there's going to be some painful consequences to that. I don't think it has to go too far to know that for some that's in a nightmare, that's an addiction. You don't want to go down. It actually says, you know, is getting drunk a sin? It doesn't actually specifically says that here. It just says it's foolish. You don't want to go down that road. And then he gives an alternative. He says, rather than letting that, the lack of control that happens in one's life when you go down that road, he says, here's what I want to control you, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He will work in your life and show you the lines that you need for your life, where you're crossing the line. And I think that's so important. We talk about sometimes in Christian life, we don't want to talk legalism and my rules or your rules and everything, but each of us need to decide, and the Holy Spirit will show us in our conscience. When I reach for the remote that next time, or I am tempted to text her back or order that second drink, it's like the Holy Spirit says in your conscience, no, that's across the line. Don't go there. And you're going to be so happy for it. You're going to live in love and in light. So he finishes with that and says, you can live this way. You can live this way. This power that I have for you, God says, the power that raised Jesus from the dead will give you that power to direct your life and protect your life. That's what lines are there for. We can be thankful for that. And the other great news is that where we've crossed the line, and all of us know that we crossed the line, there is forgiveness. We can get back on track. We can claim God's forgiveness for it and say, you know what, I'm going to walk freely and lovingly and in your light down this path. And that's the offer of communion. That's the ongoing offer of forgiveness. What we do here at Coast Hills is once a month we come and celebrate that together. God invites us to do that as a habit, as a pattern in our lives. Whenever we cross a line, we can immediately and instantly go, okay, I went over the line. I'm back. God, here I am. Thank you for your forgiveness for that. And we move back in again. What communion does is once a month, it brings us all together and celebrates the reality that we live that kind of life, day to day, moment by moment, saying, God, thanks for your forgiveness. Thanks for your sacrifice. Thank you that you took upon yourself the times when I crossed the line. I'm thankful that you never did. Your perfect sinless life, it was fully in love and in light. And as a result of that, and as you took upon all those defaults on my part, those sins, I can now live in light and love. So we want to invite you to take part in that this morning. I want to invite Pastor Peter and Pastor Kevin to come up here, and we're going to do this together. I want to invite you to stand. Would you stand with us? And the worship band is going to lead. And if you're here this morning, and maybe just internally you say, God, my desire, I recognize that the lines you give me are to protect me, to direct me. My desire is to live that way. I give myself to your light. We want to invite you to take part in that. And if you want to take a moment even this morning as you take part to just say, God, show me where I've crossed the line. I claim your forgiveness. I thank you that you've forgiven me for that. That's what the celebration of communion is about as well. So I invite you to take that, take the bread and the cup. Peter will be on one side, Kevin on the other. You can just file up and take and then bring it back to where you're standing. We'll sing this song together. And then after everybody's taken the bread and the cup, then we'll participate together. We're going to sing this song together.